And that's an appropriate song for a Navy man. And that's what Mr. James was, and we appreciate that so much. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture, if I could, from Psalm 90. The Bible says this, and these are interesting and very truthful and helpful words to us at a time like this. And so let me read these to you. The Bible says this, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. Mr. James beat that by 13 years. "And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I've said a little bit already about Mr. Fuller and how that he had put his trust in Jesus in those last days. And we're all grateful for that decision that he made that brings so much help and comfort at especially a time like this that we can really give graceful thank to God for, and we appreciate it. But in trying to think about just what to say today, I'll be honest with you, it's quite difficult. We preachers that do this quite often, and in over 40 years of ministry, I've preached more than a few funerals, but this is one of those unusual ones. So I decided to do something just a little bit different. I said, well, I'm going to look back at some notes I had from when we did Miss Nancy's funeral, which was January the 1st, 2017. And I realized that not everything that could be said about her could be said about him. Sweet, loving, kind, praying, calm, quiet, understanding, easy to get along with. Those things could not be said about James Fuller. If you knew him, you know I'm telling the truth. And I'm trying to be honest with you today and tell you the truth about it. Funerals, contrary to what a lot of people think, funerals are not a time when preachers try to preach somebody into heaven. If you're not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die and leave this life, preacher can't help you at all. The Pope can't help you, a priest can't help you, your mom and daddy can't help you. You better make sure you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what's most important. And he had got that settled, and we're thankful. He wished he had done it sooner, just like you probably wish you had done it sooner. But he got in, and that's what we're grateful for. This family is, they're unusual. I've been here for a little over 32 years here at Faith Baptist Church, and I find out I'm still a little bit of an outsider, even though I've been here all them years. They tell you, once an outsider, always an outsider in Ludowice. But if you get to know the Fuller family, you got to be real careful, because you can't talk about them because they related to everybody. And there's either people that like them or either people that don't like them, but everybody knows the Fuller family. And they pulled one with Ray Howard at the funeral home the other day on me that I'm praying that God will give them a year-long case of hiccups over. They called me on the speakerphone to tell me about the arrangements for the funeral. And they said, the family would like you to sing 4 specials for the funeral. Well, first of all, I don't sing at all unless I'm standing behind somebody back there. And I said, no, they ain't no, I mean, I was just mad already, you know. Felt like a little Mr. Fuller had rubbed off on me. You may have noticed, by the way, that he did have a little bit of a temper. I've seen him mad at city workers till I felt plumb sorry for the worker. I have. I'm telling the truth. I've seen him mad at just circumstances in general. I've seen him mad about politics and what's going on in America. I've seen him mad at family members. I've seen him even mad at me. And I sure did try to reconcile that as quick as I could, but I've also seen him cry. He was a man of a lot of emotions that swung either way. They were strong emotions, whichever. I can still remember when Amber was expecting Marissa, and I still remember him being up here one day at school, and you were in school here. And he was in a room over there. We was talking about he had to get up and walk out because he's crying. Now, some of y'all ain't never seen that side of him. You've only seen the angry side of him or the stern side of him. But if there's one thing I could say about him is that he felt strongly about whatever he felt about. He was real. He was genuine. And what you see is what you get with James Fuller. Now, you might prefer something different. Typically, that's not what you see in a politician. Most of the time, they're trying to tickle your ears like some modern-day preachers do today to make everybody feel comfortable and happy and always straddle a fence. I don't think he ever even came close to a fence, much less straddle it. But he was real. He was genuine. And I tried to think of some words. I wrote down a few words that came to mind. I won't be long, but some words that came to mind. And I hope these will be some that will bless the family. First was memories. Everybody has their memories of James Fuller. He was a memorable character. You couldn't be around him very long if you got to know him very much. Jimmy Owen was talking about when he was a teenager, spending time with him. And Jimmy, who hardly ever cries, got in tears a while ago talking about it because of how much it meant that he had some memories of Mr. Fuller. I've got memories. We all got memories. Some of the first ones I can recall is probably him working as a police officer here and just probably being scared of him, you know, driving down the road. I remember we tore an old building down out here and he come by and for the hunting club, he wanted the whole shelter that was on top. Can I have that? I said, you sure can. Of course, I was hoping for a little help on a ticket sometime in the future, but thankfully I never had to go that route. But you've got your memories, and I want to encourage, sometimes people are a little reluctant about memories. Can I encourage you to share those memories? Because every time you share the memory, it keeps somebody around. It keeps them in the front of our memory. It keeps us focused on them, and they're not soon forgotten. Now, his character alone, the kind of man that he was, is certainly something that will keep him in our memory, not only as individuals and his family. You've all got your special moments with him. Pass those down. Don't hide them. Write a memoir if you have to, even if it's just verbal. Tell the grandkids, tell the great-grandkids, and how blessed he was to be able to see those grandchildren and to experience them and to share with them, to laugh with them. If any of you saw the video at the viewing last night, you saw him making funny faces with the baby and laughing and carrying on, that most folks don't know that side of him. And I'm ashamed that some of us didn't get to know him that well. But again, he created memories. He was a memorable person and it sticks with you. And whether you are a co-worker, a family member, a friend, you might even be somebody that maybe even politically you didn't see eye to eye with him on things, but you still got memories. And I grant you that you probably have some very good memories. Hold on to them, cherish them, and share them with other people. So that was one word that came to my mind. I can still remember some of the first times when he came to church, he always sat way back yonder on the backside, on the back row. And of course, I'd get on to him about it, but you know, you couldn't have paid him $1,000 to get him to the front row. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen. But again, it was partly Mike's fault because he sat back there with him, so we'll blame Mike. And Miss Nancy, bless her heart, probably my sweetest memories of their whole family is seeing Miss Nancy and Mr. James sitting on that back row back there. And many a time I've seen him clutch that pew, and I knew that he wanted to come forward. The last thing I remember that she ever said to me was on our front porch out here when she said, keep praying for James. I've been praying for him for 40 plus years, praying for him to come to Jesus. And when he left this life this past Friday morning, the thing she had been praying for all her life and did not get to see while she was living on earth, she got to see when she was up in glory. Now, you believe what you want to, but I believe the Bible teaches absent from the body, present with the Lord. I believe we'll see and know our loved ones in heaven. And I believe that she got the opportunity to meet and greet him when he came through the pearly gates, or however you want to look at it. What a joy it must have been to her to say it's about time that you came. And I'm glad that it did. But you got your memories. Another word that came to my mind was man. James Fuller was much of a man. He stood for something. I don't know anybody that was around him very long that walked away and said, well, I wonder how he feels about that. That ain't no way. I don't care what. If you didn't want to know, don't ask him, because he'd tell you. Now, he wouldn't care with me anyway. He wouldn't carry on a 45, 50-minute conversation. But if I asked him what he thought about President Trump, he'd tell me. If I asked him what he felt about something going on in the local area, he would tell me. He was just always open enough like that. And I appreciated the fact that he would be willing to let me know. He was such a strong man to me. I had so much respect for him. Now, I didn't see eye to eye with him on everything. And he's told me a time or two I was wrong. But I didn't think I was. But he just had that impression that his manly presence about him. There was nothing that would ever make you think that there was weakness in him. He was just always very strong, a man of strong opinions, a man of strong beliefs. That stood out to me about him, and I really appreciated the fact. I prefer being around somebody that lets you know where they stand rather than somebody you never know whether you could trust them or not. I knew what he was for. I knew what he was against. I knew where he stood. And in a day when politicians, and I don't really like to even refer to him that way, but in a day when a lot of politicians really don't want you to know where they stand, this is a man who was willing to say, this is what I believe, this is where I stand, and I don't care if you like it or not. Now, you might not appreciate that, but I did. I can't stand those today who won't let you know where they stand. So that's a word that came to mind. Another word that came to my mind was mayor. That seems obvious, doesn't it? He's our mayor. Was our mayor. I think he ran our city well. I was very pleased with it. I'm not in all the interactions like many of you are, but he was mayor. I think this city, I think this community was blessed to have him in leadership. And I know it goes all the way back to him as a police officer, and it goes through his time at the water department. But there were times, I believe, and from my point of observation, I think there were times that he helped run things in the city when maybe he didn't necessarily have the title of mayor, but he still helped take care and make sure some things were taken care of, that things were done. And listen, there's no way you can be in that position and make everybody happy. You're not going to do it. But leaders are not people who choose to make everybody happy. Leaders are people who choose to say, this is the direction we need to go in, let's go. And I think Mr. James had that quality about him. It's arguments that are said over the years of whether or not somebody is born a leader, made a leader, or are thrust into leadership. I think in this case, yes to all of the above. Maybe he was born that way, maybe he learned it along the way, and maybe he was thrust into that position, but it all came together as he helped lead our city and our community in the right way. And I look at it sort of like this, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I like some things that he did, and I'm so very thankful that we had him in that position of leadership. And we certainly want to pray for our city and our community as we go forward from here. And I know he would want us to pray for the right thing to take place as we go forward. That would be the best thing for our city and community to continue in the right way. He served this city, period. And he served this city well, period. And he's going to be missed by this family. A man of this magnitude, a man of this kind of character and caliber, cannot just go off the scene and everybody say, well, he's gone, we'll forget him. He's unforgettable. And he's unforgettable for this city and community. I'll give you two more words and I'll be done. And that word is the word missed. By city, by church, by family. Our church missed him when he first went in the hospital and never got back out to be able to come, to be able to sit in his favorite place back there to talk to us after church. He just could not make it. We will miss him. The city will miss him. We're going to, his work co-workers, the police officers and everybody else that he was in charge of, y'all going to miss him. You probably already do. People that just are friends, just to see him here and there. Even if you didn't agree with everything, you going to miss him. Just his presence had that impact on us. But I'll say this, Mr. Fuller did something with y'all that I ain't been able to do. In 32 years, some of y'all, I ain't never got you to be in church, and he got you here today. He got you here to fill up this 300-seat auditorium. He got you here, and I'm glad for that impact. He was a larger-than-life figure, and one that will be remembered, and he will be so greatly missed. It was said of Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish preacher of a bygone era, they said this, and they put it on his tombstone. They said this, live so as to be missed. I think that's a pretty good epitaph to go on somebody's tombstone. It's to know that you lived in a way that you were missed when you were gone. Not a forgettable person, not somebody nobody notices. Literally thousands of people die every day. Many of them will be unknown to us, but not this man. And we're honored that we have the opportunity to be at this special dedication service for him. Our church, my family. And if you'll allow me just a moment, it's a little harder than I thought it would be. He's a tough man. He's a rough man. He stood hard. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to miss him. I loved him. And for some reason, he loved me too. And when somebody's got strong emotions, like he had, even though he's a rough exterior and kind of calloused on the outside, down in here, it was love as big as the ocean. And I know he loved this family, but this preacher loved him. The final word that I would say is mercy. This comes to mind, and I'll close with this. Mercy both to him and mercy to us. Thursday evening, my wife and I went by and saw Mr. Fuller at the nursing home and were able to be there with him and the family for a little bit. We tried to talk with him, and I tried to rouse him up because he was sleeping, and he opened his eyes and held his hand up for just a moment and went back to sleep. And I think Mike and Jim might have woke him later on after that, but the last moments I had with him were just there trying to talk with him and let him know that we loved him and we're praying for him, hoped he got better. I don't know how much he heard. In those unconscious sleeping moments, you don't know how much people hear, but when I remember asking Jim, I said, well, what else can we do? And he said, well, just pray. And I said, well, anything we... He said, just pray for mercy. And so that's what I did. That's what we did. That's what our church has been doing. It's a funny situation. People are on the brink of death, and we keep trying to keep them out of heaven. You thought it that way? We want them here. Sometimes we want them here because we don't want to lose them. We don't want to go through the loss. We don't want to experience the hurt. But the honest truth is, he is better in heaven than he was here. He is healthier, happier, more joyful there than he would ever be here, especially in the condition that his body was in. And so we prayed for God's mercy, which, if I could interpret it in my mind, it was this, that, Lord, don't let him suffer. Don't let him linger. And I think that's what the family wanted. And, dear God, please, show him mercy and take him on to heaven. And the next morning, the Lord called him to glory. And we feel like that was an answer to prayer for the mercy that we prayed for. But it's not just that. God shows mercy not just to a James Fuller and in reaching down and saving his soul, but God shows mercy to you and to me every single day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Do you realize the reason you're still alive? Now, he's dead and gone, but the reason you're still alive is the mercy of God that allows you and me one more day to live. And so the Bible said, number our days. We ought to count and we ought to be thankful for every single day. You never know. Tony knows this. Becky, you know this. In any given moment, just like that, in the snap of a finger, somebody can be called home to glory. Many of you know that experience too. If that were to happen to you, if for some reason God's mercy ran out and you got called out of this life today, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that heaven would be your home? Do you know that you'd have the peace and comfort to see your loved ones again? Would your family know that you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? I hope that you'd get that matter settled. Not a better day than today to settle that issue with the Lord and ask God for the same mercy that James Fuller asked for, and he got it. Mercy is not given. Grace is not granted because we deserve it. We don't earn it by good deeds or keeping commandments or attending church or being baptized or confirmed or shaking a preacher's hand. That's not how you get the mercy and grace of God. It is a free gift. And God gives it freely to any and all who are willing to humble their heart and ask, dear God, have mercy. You're familiar with the story in the Bible of the Pharisee and the publican. How the publican came and bowed and smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. In the arrogance of that pride, that man went away unjustified. But the publican who smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, left justified. You could do that today too if you just ask God for his mercy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this special occasion that we have had today. It's such a great loss for our city, for our community, for our church, and for this dear and precious family that I love so much. And Father, I pray that you'd give them that comfort that comes only through your word and the promises of it, and that your Holy Spirit will be the comforter to come into their life, to walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death, to be them with them in moments, both today and the weeks to come, when they just break down all by themselves and miss Mr. Fuller. And Lord, I pray, whether they're missing daddy, or they're missing a daddy-in-law, or they're missing a grandpa or a great-grandpa or an uncle, God, I pray that you'd give them their help and blessing that they need in those times. Thank you again, Lord, for these dear friends and family members who showed up today to honor this man that we appreciate and loved. Thank you for the change you made in his life, and Lord, how you reached down and saved him. Though at the 11th hour, we give you praise that he knew you as Lord and Savior. I pray now that you'd bless the remainder of this service. We'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.